For the past 3 years, I had been living in the roach-infested Elm Hotel, right on Eddy Street, in the heart of the Tenderloin in San Francisco. Most of the residents were transients, who had ended up in the TL pit for one reason or another, where the majority succumbed to this lifestyle. For those who had no aspirations or opportunity, this was the ideal place to live, and for the time being, it suited me just fine. I had become a low-level addict, whose only ambition was to get wasted, and I rarely had to leave the 4-block radius that had become my place of employment and home. I loved getting high, and this environment made using easy for an active addict. Stealing, turning tricks, and selling drugs to get my needs met, I never missed an opportunity to keep myself flush in drugs. This arrangement included a sweet old gent and hotel resident who also happened to push my drug of choice, heroin. He didn't use, so for him, making money and having female companionship did the deal. Every day started off the same way, me getting myself well, and this day was no different. Just as I was making my way to the bathroom to begin the process, before I started feeling sick, there was a sharp knock at the door. Irritated at having to wait to get high, I answered the door in my oversized t-shirt that bore Andy Warhol's can of tomato soup, with nothing on underneath, and makeup still on from the night before. I opened the door and said to the day manager, "What the fuck do you want?" I had no filter when it was time to get high. The Indian woman from the front desk told me in a curt voice, "You have a phone call in the lobby. It sounded urgent." This was a first. They never came up to the door to say there was a call in the lobby, much less an urgent call. This was quickly noted and now had my full attention. With my heart racing, I hit the stairwell like a track and field star, and how I made it to the bottom without doing bodily harm to myself will remain a mystery. Who is calling me, and why is it so urgent? I could feel a tinge of dread creeping in, but was immediately distracted once I entered the lobby. In the foyer, the smells immediately assaulted my senses. The Indians, with their ongoing curry aroma in almost everything they cook, was forever present, but not unappealing. The offensive odors came from the old, musky, dank furniture in the sitting area that had never been cleaned. Add in the fact that resident hygiene was not on the top of their priority list, and you were talking straight stench. There were a couple of heroin addicts waiting for the dope man to come bring them some relief. The younger of the two had watery, bluish-gray half-circles under his eyes that gave him a ghoulish look, and his nose was running incessantly as he wiped the clear liquid on his sleeve. He was starting to go into withdrawal and would lose his cool if his connection didn't show up soon. The other guy, the larger of the two, had long, dirty hair with tracks running down his prison-tattooed arms and lining the veins of his hand that held onto a Camel cigarette. With anticipation thick in the air, you never really knew whether you would get some dope or get ripped off, and thus waited for the scene to play out. The phone booth was in the middle of the lobby and doubled as a vending machine for buying heroin, cocaine, codeine, and syringes after 10 p.m., and would operate on a much lighter scale during the day. Feeling a little nervous, not knowing who was on the other end, I tried to sound nonchalant. "What's up? Shelley? Yeah?" It was Joy, my sister, and she casually said, "Mom finally did it. Can you come home?" No drama, no crying, just the facts about our mother, who had finally done what she had waited so very long to do, commit suicide. I had talked to my mom a few weeks ago in this very phone booth, where we reminisced about life and how things had changed in the time I had been gone. Honestly, I couldn't remember most of what was said. I was so wrapped up in my own thoughts since it was time to get high again. Was my sister getting some sadistic satisfaction at delivering this information to me? She was known for blurting out sensitive information for a reaction, but seriously, now? Oh, Jesus, fuck, Yeah, I will do what I can to get a ticket home. All right then, gotta go. Never close with Joy. I did not want to start sharing feelings now. Deep down, I knew my mother was finally out of her emotional turmoil, and for that I was grateful. My body, mind, and soul began to scream, and my only thought was to self-medicate so I could breathe and quietly remove myself from my sister's voice, which continued to echo in my head. She finally did it. It was pointless. Self-destructive behavior that was nothing more than playing Russian roulette over the past 2 decades. Only this time the bullet was in the barrel. I loved her so very much, but was unable to feel the pain of losing her. My addiction to heroin and pain pills kept me from having the true experience and breaking down with emotion, which would serve no purpose. Slumped in the phone booth as vague images reminded me again of the letter Mom had sent me only a few short weeks ago, I was left feeling hollow and alone. Fuck this. I needed to get loaded. After sprinting down the stairs, I was now reduced to shuffling over to the decrepit old elevator, which smelled of stale cigarettes and cheap perfume. Slowly, it cranked me back to the 4th floor, to the penthouse suite, which was my home. My residence was one of the many ancient hotels that lined the streets running parallel to Market Street, and were in a state of decay from the lack of care and too many years gone by. These walls had seen so many tortured souls suffering from isolation, loneliness, addiction, neglect, and abuse. What a story they could tell with so many inhabitants, much like me, lost and without hope. Our room looked out onto Eddy Street, where you could see illegal activity on any given day, with a hooker or two strolling down the filthy sidewalk, or a pusher posted up by the liquor store waiting to sell his drugs. As I entered our room, John Lennon's voice was singing softly from the radio. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Quietly, I went to the bathroom where I could see my face staring back at me, and watched myself swallow some Valium and codeine. I just needed to get through the next couple of hours. My head started to spin, and I wanted to go lie back down. I put the blanket over my head and entered a semi-dream state for the next 2 or so hours, where it felt warm and safe. And as much as I wanted to tune out the images, the memories came flooding back, one after another.